Good morning and welcome to our online service here at St Nicholas Church, Orpington. And just a reminder for those of you who have been joining us in person, this Sunday, Sunday the 18th of July, is our last service in the building before our building works, which begin tomorrow or Monday the 19th of July. And we're going to be shut for 5 weeks over the summer. But during that time, we will be meeting at 10 o'clock on Facebook, as usual, and then at 10:30 on Zoom. Anyone is welcome to join us. If you'd like to join us for that Zoom meeting at 10:30, please contact us via Facebook or through our website, and we can send you the login. Well, this morning we're continuing with our series looking at King David, and our reading today is from 2 Samuel, chapter 7, verses 1 to 14. After the king was settled in his palace, and the Lord had given him rest from his enemies all around him, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am, living in a house of cedar, while the ark of God remains in a tent." Nathan replied to the king, "Whatever you have in mind, go ahead and do it, for the Lord is with you." But that night the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. Are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. I have been moving from place to place with a tent as my dwelling. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of their rulers, whom I commanded to shepherd my people, Israel, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture, from tending the flock, and appointed you ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name great like the names of the greatest men on earth, and I will provide a place for my people Israel, and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people shall not oppress them any more as they did at the beginning, and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Earlier this week, one lunchtime, as I normally do, I decided to take my dog out for a walk. So I had everything ready, and I've made it my habit to kind of eat my lunch as I go along. So I packed some sandwiches, and I brought a bottle of water with me. I'd even downloaded a podcast onto my phone. I've got my headphones plugged in, and I was walking along, you know, listening to this podcast, sandwich in hand, a bottle of water in hand, and I'd be walking for about 10 minutes before I realised I'd forgotten one essential ingredient, and that was my dog. And you know, I couldn't quite believe this had happened to me. So of course I had to turn back, go and pick up the dog and complete my walk with him. But I realised that in the midst of all that, I had got my priorities all wrong. I'd got all the paraphernalia around the dog walk ready. The lunch, the drink, the podcast, the headphones, whatever it was. I even had, you know, the little doggy bags. But I'd forgotten the main thing, the most important thing that this walk was all about. My dog itself, Benji. And, you know, in some ways, as we're looking at this reading today about King David, I think it's a story about someone who'd got his priorities wrong. Actually about someone whose heart was in the right place, but David has got his priorities wrong. And you know, ultimately, as we go through this reading, I think we see that what David learns is it's not about what he can do for God, it's about what God will do with him. But David, at the beginning, has a priority. As we go on, we see, you know, it's not quite God's priority. And David's priority at the beginning is that God should, like him, have a house, presumably of cedar, like the house he mentions in verse 2. And as we go on, as God speaks to Nathan, this prophet, at night, presumably in a dream, we see that God's priorities are slightly different. And first of all, we find out at the beginning that what has been important to God up to now is in fact not that he should have had a house, but actually that he has been able to move about. In verse 6, God says, "I have been moving from place to place with a tent as my dwelling." Up to now, it's been more important for God that he should be with his people rather than that he should have an ornate house. And whereas our reading starts with that focus on what David can do, in verse 3, Nathan says, "Whatever you have in mind, go ahead and do it," to David. But through this dream, we see that actually God gives Nathan and then David a different perspective. So the focus moves from what David can do to what God does, from David's initiative to God's initiative, from David's priorities to God's priorities. And over again in this dream that God gives to Nathan, God uses the word "I." "I have not dwelt in a house," verse 6. "I have been moving from place to place," in the same verse. "I took you from the pasture," verse 8. "I appointed you ruler of my people Israel," again in verse 8. "I have been with you wherever you have gone," in verse 9. "I have cut off your enemies." And then God goes on to talk about the future. "Now I will make your name great," in verse 9. "I will provide a place for my people," verse 10. "I will also give you rest," verse 11. "The Lord himself will establish a house. I will raise up your offspring. I will establish his kingdom," in verse 12. And although he is the one who will build a house, God says, "I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever," in verse 13. "I will be his father, and he shall be my son." So David had got his priorities, had got his focus all wrong. His focus had been on what he could do, what he would do, even, you know, with his own failings. But instead, God wanted David to focus on what God had done, what God could do, and what God would go on to do. The passage begins with David's reflection on his own situation, but it ends with Nathan's revelation about what God could do. And there we see that 11 references to the pronoun "I," God using the word "I," either something "I have done" or "will do." And even where it's not "I," in verse 11, we read, "The Lord Almighty will establish." So the first lesson that David seems to need to learn is how everything comes from God. It is God who chooses his own movements. It is God who has given David victory. It is God who will make David's name great. It is God who will raise up David's offspring. God takes the initiative. And the second lesson that David learns is, you know, where he's thinking about a temporary solution to what he sees as a problem. This need to house the ark of God somewhere. Where David's thinking about a quick fix, actually, God is thinking about the long term. God is thinking about the long term. And, you know, we find out that, yes, God actually, he is interested in a house. However, God's desire, God's vision for a house is much bigger than David's. He wants to establish a house for David. But as he says in verse 12, "I will establish your offspring's kingdom." God does want a house, but it's in the context of a firmly established dynasty, in the context of a kingdom whose throne will be forever, in verse 13. In many ways, David had the right idea. However, God had a much bigger picture than David. David had simply been thinking about one structure. However, God now gives him the bigger picture, one in which he's not only given rest from his enemies, in verse 11, in a kind of permanent extension of the picture we've already seen in verse 1. But more than that, he will give David offspring, and he will give his offspring a kingdom in a context where the whole nation, in verse 10, will have a place. He says, "I will provide a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed." God's promising security. He's promising destiny, establishment, kingdom. And in that context, God then wants to build a house for his name. And you know, I think so often God's vision is bigger than ours. God here, he wants to build a whole culture of shalom, of peace. You know, a culture built around that promise in verse 11, I will give you rest from your enemies. He wants to establish the kingdom, build a house, a kingdom that will last forever. Where David was thinking about the quick fix, God was thinking about the long term. And where David had wanted to take the initiative, he realized that it's God who takes the initiative. And finally, David learns that in verse 14, that with the gift of God's presence comes the revelation of God's fatherhood. Because there's that incredible final promise there in verse 14. I will be his father, God says, of David's offspring, and he will be my son. With the gift of God's presence comes a revelation of his fatherhood. And, you know, I'm reminded of Jesus' baptism, that when Jesus came to be among us, when he was baptized in the Jordan, the heavens were opened and a voice came from heaven saying, this is my son, whom I love. With you I'm well pleased. There was that revelation of God's fatherhood. I'm reminded about, you know, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost on the apostles. A Holy Spirit who St. Paul talks about in Romans 8 and describing him as the Spirit of sonship. By him we cry, Abba, Father. With the gift of God's presence comes the revelation of God's fatherhood. And this final revelation here is, you know, David learns really and truly that it's not about David having to look after God. It's going to be about God being a father, and indeed God being a father to David's own son. It's not about what David can do for God, it's about what God will do with him. God takes the initiative, God is thinking long term, and God reveals his fatherhood. And as we reflect on this incredible passage, on this Sunday when, you know, we're about to enter into 5 weeks where our church building is shut, perhaps we can let these 5 weeks be a time when we allow ourselves to understand that, you know, our walk with God is not about what we can do for him. It's about what God will do with us. In these weeks, as we're unable to run many of our activities, whether it's Messy Church or the Community Larder or the Toddler Group or many other activities that go on in our building, when we are unable to be busy in so many of the ways we're normally busy as a church, can we allow God in this time to take the initiative as David allowed him to? Can we allow him to speak to us about the long term? Not just now about what we're going to be doing on Tuesday or next week, but what does God want to do with us as individuals and maybe even as a church in the long term? What does God want to say to us about our future, both personally and as a body? And finally, can we let this be a time when God reveals his fatherhood to us? As once again, as a church, while the building's shut, I'm sure we'll miss the presence of others, that companionship of friends and church family. Can we let this be a time when God draws near to us by his presence, when God reveals himself to us as our Father, as the one who cares for us? Amen.